Ninsun is kind of exciting to me to talk about. There's so much that brings her into the picture, right in with man. So you'll see the importance of the mixed breed king as a go between the gods and the men on Earth. And she is instrumental in some of this. So when you hear the word Nephilim in the Bible and so forth, you're really talking about some of her children who became kings and heroes of old, men of renown, as you will see in Genesis. So there's a lot to say about this girl, so hang in there. All right, Ninsun shows up in Sumer, and she's there throughout Babylon, Akkadia, Lagash. She's everywhere throughout Mesopotamia. Many texts mention her. Many artifacts have her. It's incredible what is here that you can look at. Please do. It's incredible what you'll find just through Ninsun. Anyway, daughter Ninsun would be the daughter to Ninurta, who is the third man in line for the kingship of planet Nibiru and colony Earth. Ninurta can't get any more important than him. He's the crown prince to be. Anyway, Ninurta marries Bo, who is the daughter of the king Anu. I mean, you can't get a better descendant to the king than Bo. So, and Ninurta, being the grandson to the king, Bo, his aunt, is the daughter to the king. Ninurta marries his aunt. Okay. So she's the daughter, in some text, to Anu and his concubine Urash. So, you know, some texts, they kind of modify in the wrong direction. Some texts are consistent. You'll see most of them. Daughter to Ninurta. And there are many that'll tell you directly. Okay, so in some texts, you'll see other things. And it gets confusing if you try to cipher it yourself. Ninsun had a temple in Lagash, which is the city of Ninurta. And, of course, she would have a residence there for visiting. So she has her own little Motel 6, if you might say, in her father's city. She also has a place in the Eanna, which is the temple of Anu in Uruk. The Eanna was later taken over by Inanna. Right next to the temple of Eanna is another temple for Adad in Uruk. Uruk is where Ninsun lives. She has a temple there. And here's another temple, Tiashra, and the temple of the goddess Gutumdug, which is another name for Ninsun. Ninsun espoused a semi-divine mixed-breed king, Lugalbanda. Lugalbanda was the king of Uruk, who ruled 1,200 years. Now we're talking about a full-blooded Anunnaki goddess marrying an offspring of the gods, a mixed-breed Nephilim. Lugalbanda, a very important mixed-breed, one of the heroes of old, men of renown. She marries him and has children by him. So when the Bible talks about having children by the gods, that works both ways, children from the men and children from the women. Ninsun is the main woman. Heaven makes breed children. Main woman. Okay, Ninsun has Anunnaki, full-blooded son, Dumuzi, the shepherd. Can you imagine? She is the mother of Enki's child, Dumuzi, the baby of the family, who later is killed. Dumuzi is the spouse of Inanna. I mean, this is all in the same family. It's a circle of royal family, keeping their bloodlines together under the king. We learned the same method. Anyway, Ninsun has Dumuzi as a son. Dumuzi's a main character here. Ninsun's Anunnaki, full-blooded daughters, are Gesht Inanna, who is with Enki. She's the sister to Dumuzi. That there's many things there that happen. The rape of Dumuzi to Gesht Inanna ends up getting Dumuzi killed by his brother Marduk. So Gesht Inanna is important. Dumuzi is important because you'll find out the gods can die. And all these things, you start adding it up and you find out they're exactly like us. We're exactly like them. She also has the full-blooded Anunnaki daughter, Aya, or Aya, and who it becomes Utu's spouse. There's another important full-blooded god married to a full-blooded goddess, Utu. So here's a little quote from Utu. Escort me to my mother-in-law, to Ninsun. That'll tell you, he's married to Aya, the daughter. Okay, Ninsun had semi-divine offspring, as I've been telling you. These semi-divines, these heroes of old that lived forever, seemingly, they lived a long time. Too long, according to the gods. Anyway, Gilgamesh is one of the most important after the flood heroes of old, men of renown. You'll find Gilgamesh taught in colleges all over the world, I assume. Gilgamesh is a very important figure, and he is proof of the gods who came down and had sex and created mixed-breed giants, who were the first kings. Here's your evidence of it right here. Gilgamesh, king of Uruk, he's two-thirds divine because his father's semi-divine, his mother's completely divine. This works out. I don't have my math, but that works out two-thirds divine. He ruled 126 years according to this, but he ruled 400 and some odd years according to another text. So, I mean, they lived long, they ruled long. But this is after the flood, so they don't rule as long as they used to. Excuse me. Okay, so the oldest son, semi-divine, is Gilgamesh. You'll find him on Uruk's page. I suggest you look closely at Uruk's page. You'll also find Ninsun's spouse there, Lugalbanda. Next son was Ur-Nammu, who was made king of Ur, two-thirds divine, giant, who lives a long time. Not as long as, not thousands of years, not a thousand years, but still a long time. Ur-Nammu, child of Ninsun, she has given birth to you. Here's your evidence. King Gouda of Lagash, two-thirds divine. This is the youngest son made king. Gouda, your divine mother is Nensun. Just a quote to give you the, you know, the heads up. This is what I'm telling you. Nensun, semi-divine mixed breed grandsons made into kings. Yep. Her sons had sons who too were kings, if they were liked. Shulji was very much liked by the gods, and he followed his father and became king of Ur. As a quote, Shulji, the son of Nensun, son, grandson, great-grandson, you'll find it written as the son. It's, for some reason, they don't have the word, or I don't know. They just call it the son, meaning the descendant. Nensun, semi-divine, mixed breed, great-grandsons. You see how this goes? And the god's bloodline is kept as long as you can keep it, because there's many advantages to it. They're bigger, they're much bigger, stronger, much faster, live much longer, and they're your rulers, your kings. They receive the first laws to give to you. They receive the first religions to give to you. All of these things come out of these first civilizations on Earth. Amazing. So here's the great-grandson kings of Nensun, Amersin. He's the king of Ur and brother to Shushin. Well, Shushin is also a king of Ur, son of Nensun. There it is again, son of Nensun. He is the great-grandson of Nensun. I try to help you to explain this stuff as clearly as I can. So Shushin becomes a very important semi-divine king. Inanna, of course, espouses all these kings that I have listed here because they're important kings and mixed breeds. So in espousing Shushin, she happened to like especially, and she has a son. Imagine, Inanna finally has a son with the sons of God who came down and created mixed breed Nephilim. So now she has a son by one of the Nephilim, and his name by the Romans is Cupid. You ever hear of Cupid, the son of Shushin and Inanna? Right there, great-grandson of Nensun. Right there. And Inanna have their own sons. Nensun, semi-divine mixed breed daughters. I know this is confusing, so it's written right there for you to refer back to. She has semi-divine daughters as well. They are not made kings, no, but they're given positions as spouses. So here's two daughters listed right there. And to quote Gilgamesh from a text, my own mother Nensun, and of my father Lugalbanda, I have brought you in me, of whatever, my big sister, and I have brought you Mather, my little sister. There's your evidence. That makes Nensun's daughters semi-divine, like Nensun's semi-divine kings that I just went through. Okay, that's what you're going to find right off the bat on the overview. I suggest you refer back to this. If you continue to study Nensun, it'll be important to you. Let's look at the slideshows and than the page itself. The first thing you see are artifacts sliding by. You put your cursor on the artifact and the slideshow stops and a little description pops up. If the description is blocking your view, put your cursor on the other artifact, it'll stop it, and you can look at the artifact without a description underneath and get a better view of it, should the description be in your way of viewing. That's how you view without the description. Anyway, you can fast forward through these slideshows, and you can rewind through these slideshows. If you want to restart the slideshow, just refresh the page. Okay, so as we go through the first slideshow, it's just giving you an idea who Minsun, or Lama, who she is, daughter, like I say, to the Nertem Bo, and Bo's the daughter of the king, the Nertus, third and, or second in line behind the king. You couldn't be better positioned. So here she is, a mother to semi-divine kings and a mother to full-blooded gods as well. You go through these slideshows and you'll see amazing artifacts. And I want you to take particular notice to the little round cylinder that sometimes you'll see sitting next to the artifact, and then the picture that's carved on that cylinder right next to the cylinder. So you see the cylinder and you see the artifact. That cylinder was once a rock, carved and smoothed down into that cylinder. Then it's shaped into that cylinder. Then it's reverse carved with a seam as detailed as you're looking at on a cylinder. Try to reverse carve that seam on a round rock. Do you think man could do that? So you're looking at a historical event recorded by the gods, of the gods, and some of them are showing you their offspring, Nephilim, demigods. It doesn't get any better than these artifacts. Look at them. In review, keep looking. So they'll even show Minsun with wings. Well, all the wings mean is she has the capability of flight. Meaning, being that she's in the royal family, she can get a hold of a flying saucer. That's what it means. And when you see that helmet that she wears, that headdress, that's a crown of animal horns. Only the blood relatives to the king wear the animal horn crowns. And I'm talking about the king of the Anunnaki, the king of the gods, and the offspring of the king wear the crown on earth. Okay? That's how it is on earth. So you're looking at her with some kind of headdress. You're looking at the other gods with same type of headdress. And it goes through in the most fantastic detail, recording some event that happened thousands of years ago. Take a look at what survived for thousands of years. Unfortunately, radical Islam, ISIS, destroyed thousands of these artifacts. Many of them no longer exist. They went through the museums in the Middle East and raided them, ransacked them, either stole or destroyed everything in there pertaining to the giant gods and the giant Nephilim. They do not want you to know your history. Neither do the Christians. Neither do the Jews. Neither do the governments. This has been the biggest secret on earth for 2,000 years, 2,300 years since Alexander the Great, I don't know, since Darius, the Persian kings. I mean, it stopped somewhere around 300 BC. And then all of a sudden, man is taking care of man with their overview. And then Jesus shows up and they're back walking with man through Jesus. If Jesus is an Anunnaki, he may have come from somewhere else. Jesus tells you plainly, my Father's kingdom is in the heavens. Okay, so as you look at some of these artifacts, that's incredible. Reverse carving on a little cylinder. Can't be done. So look, think, you have evidence of technologies way ahead of yours. You take that little cylinder that's been carved, you roll it on wet clay, you get that scene. That scene represents a true event. That scene can, that wet clay is then fired hot. So it becomes hard as a rock, and by God, it lasted thousands of years. That scene is an important scene, or it would not have been recorded. There's some work involved here, as you can tell. So it's an important scene. I try to give you the best description of the scene, but I can't tell you much of what's going on there other than he's standing before the god. Here's a king, a giant king. So we'll go through Nansan and look at those artifacts. And you'll even see a beast holding an earthling upside down. You'll see a god, Utu, standing on an earthling, just squishing him like a bug. You'll see giant mixed breeds damn near as tall as the gods themselves, because they've been favored. Why? Depends on who their parents are. So under Nansan slideshow, or Nansan quotes and overview, man, that overview is important. Then some quotes, if you want just a quick brief out of texts. Then you'll see a picture of a discovery with all these artifacts in the dirt. Okay? Thousands of years old. Look at that. Now imagine tens of thousands of these things. That indeed is what we have. Now take a look to the right. You see the text? Huge rock type text, organized and labeled like a library. And by God, if they were found that way, organized as a library, similar to our libraries. When they discovered, say, the city Nineveh, they found a library of thousands of texts, like what you see on the right. Okay, under these little pictures, two pictures, it is a quote from the Bible. People hate me for these quotes, love me for them. It's just the facts I'm trying to present to you. When men began to increase in number on the earth, this is from Genesis 6, and daughters were born to them, to man, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were looking good, they were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. They're gods. You going to stop them? You want that girl? Nobody's going to stop them. So then we go into the infrastructure. So that's kind of telling you how these mixed breed kings began to increase in number on Earth as well as man increased. That is a problem. Mixed breeds were not supposed to happen, and now everybody's got them. Anyway, Nenson's spouse, Logalbanda, very famous ancient king. He has texts. These all pertain to Logalbanda. Text, Logalbanda in the mountain cave, I suggest, with three stars. You read that one. For instance, the text, Logalbanda and the Anzu bird. I suggest you read that one. That's a double star. This is how I rate. This is how I try to help you get to the information fast. Next slideshow. Nenson with other gods and semi-divine kings. Well, now we're talking those who came down and had sex with the daughters of man. Semi-divine kings. You will see gods, you will see the goddess, and you will see what looks like a primitive compared to the gods. But indeed, he looks a hell of a lot better than the earthling does. Much bigger, much smarter. So there they are, nothing but not many earthlings in these artifacts. Nothing but the middleman, mixed breed, and the gods. What a slideshow this is. And again, you're looking at many artifacts of great detail. Some of them even have text reverse carved in them. You've got a scene and a text. I don't think man can do that. Next slideshow, Nenson with Nanner and semi-divine kings. Well, excuse me. Nanner, that's her uncle. Semi-divine kings, the Nephilim from those who came down had offspring. Here we go. Nenson with her hands, with her arms bent, her hands raised in adoration. She is presenting this mixed breed giant to a god. In many cases, it's the god Nanner in Ur. Many, many artifacts of this type. So you'll see the mother standing behind, the mother Nenson standing behind her giant mixed breed, semi-divine son, maid, king, and then gods. This is unbelievable. And occasionally in the background, you might see a naked Inanna or an earthling that's in trouble with the gods. But mostly it's just gods and semi-divines. The gods kept their distance from the earthlings. That's what the semi-divines were used for. The high priest position and the king position. Everything came, the directives came from the god to the king, and now you got the laws for the city. Then you have the religious aspect through the high priest or high priestess. And now you have religious control over the people in the city. So the gods come at you two ways. Because they seem to be God to you, they give you this through the high priest. And of course, they could use a butler, which is really what the high priest is. He takes care of the needs of the giant alien living in the ziggurat, the temple. Anyway, the Temple of Ur is mentioned all throughout the Bible. Abraham comes from Ur. Abraham's father, Terah, was the high priest of the Temple of Ur. We're talking about a giant mixed breed, high priest, middleman, between the God who lived in the temple, that's usually what they, why they call it temple, and the earthlings who were down in the city. It's so obvious, and they kept it so well hidden. And I show it to you hundreds of times through these artifacts. I show you hundreds of times evidence of your history that you do not know. I did not know. No one knows but the secret societies who have kept it secret. Controls over you, keeping you ignorant of your history. Take a look at it. It's right here. I suggest you spend time and go through these artifacts and read the texts that I emphasize are important by starring them. Went through a lot of work to do this for you. I hope you are enjoying it. So here's Ninsum with Nanner and some semi-divine kings. Well, Nanner shows up. Nanner's son Utu shows up. You'll see gods from the royal family with a semi-divine mixed breed king. And of course, Ninsum plays a major part in that blending of the gods with man. Next slideshow, Ninsum with Nana and with the Nana semi-divine spouses. So you'll see Ninsun with her arms raised in adoration. You'll see her son somewhere in there, and he'll look a little less advanced than the gods, a little primitive. In some cases, he may look very primitive, even without clothes. Someday, man learned he's naked, so the Bible says. Anyway, here you'll see primitive mixed breed, primitive man, the gods, the Nephilim, the food they eat, the wine they drink, the beer they drink. It's all here on this website in incredible pictures and texts. I don't know why we've never seen this, but when you think about it, you'll know exactly why they hid it from you. So you've been lied to by your government and by those who call themselves holy men. Next slideshow, Ninsum with semi-divine mixed priests who were appointed. This is just basically Ninsun and the mixed breed by themselves. And these artifacts are one after another. What do you think's going on here? These are important scenes they recorded for all time. Take a look. There's so many of them. How do you deny it? And they're throughout all our years of history. How do you deny it? This civilization, that one, this city-state in Sumer, that city-state in Mesopotamia, it's there in front of your eyes, but no one's ever taught it to you. It's like a tease. You'll see a statue of Gilgamesh at the university in Sydney. You'll see Ashurbanipal at another university. You know there are giants. They show it to you right in your face, but you don't think about it because there's nothing to connect it. It's just a myth. Bullshit. Here's the proof. And it's well preserved. Good God, if that doesn't scare ISIS, what would? If that doesn't scare the Pope, what would? If it doesn't scare your president, your dictator, or whoever, what would? You see, man, knowing this, what happens to every part of society you live within? They think they had good reason to hide it from you, and now the lie is so big that it could cause major problems to tell you the truth. I do not push this on anybody. This is only for those who seek knowledge, and you had to seek me out to find it. I'm not pushing it on the guy who isn't prepared. So I certainly hope this helps you. I'm not the bad guy. I'm just bringing you things you've never seen and showing you texts you've never had a chance to read. Next, Genesis 6:4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. They were the first kings, the go-between, the gods and the earthlings. They were the authority of discipline and direction over the masses that are now assembled in a city. So the first one, the first Nephilim I'm showing you here is Gilgamesh. You'll find him under Uruk, where he was king. Please look at Uruk, important city. Look at Ur, an important city. And so forth, but those two are very important. Gilgamesh, the Epic of Gilgamesh, it's required reading in most colleges. You'll see statues and pictures of him. People talk of him, but they don't know who he is. I'm going to show you and tell you exactly the way they showed you and told you. I didn't change anything. I didn't use AI on anything. This is all done the hard way, through research, through study, through actual artifacts. Not my interpretation. You're getting that through the audio. The website are the facts. So here's Epic of Gilgamesh version 1. I'm telling you 3 times it's a must read. Certain subjects in the classroom tell you it's a must read. If you're not familiar with it, I can't make it more important than to tell you it's a must read, 3-starred, and do it 3 times. I don't do that very often. So here it is, Epic of Gilgamesh. Read it, please. Epic of Gilgamesh version 2. I give it 3 stars. The priestess in Enkidu. Enkidu is a creature fashioned by Enki. Just a creature, wild, in the woods. The priestess Shamhat is a high priestess that was given the task of taking Enkidu out of the wild and bringing him into civilization to be a companion to Gilgamesh. Imagine. So now you're asking a high priestess to have sex with a wild man in the woods until he is civilized through sex and brought to Gilgamesh as his best friend to be and protector and companion. All created by Enki for Ninsun's son, Gilgamesh. Read it, you'll see why they did it. And then there's He Who Saw Everything. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Somebody who saw everything? Well, that's a text on Gilgamesh. I'm telling you, three times with three stars. I don't do that. I've done it twice under Gilgamesh. Okay, and there's a little information on Enkidu and another creature called Hababa, Enlil's creature that protects him in Lebanon, protects the cedar forest, where he's got a place in Lebanon. Anyway, you see a couple creatures. I put them in brown. Next, Gilgamesh and Enkidu. Oh, man. So here, finally, the companion is civilized. Gilgamesh and Hawawa. That's another beast. He's got to deal with it. Hawawa is Humbaba. As I told you about Enlil's creature. So I give a couple stars to it. Then you got Gilgamesh and the Bull of Heaven. These are texts. To save time, I'm pointing you in the direction. But I read them all, probably more than a dozen times. All of them. That's just me. Then you get the death of Gilgamesh. There's many versions. I give you one. Next is the giant mixed breed king of hers, Ur-Nammu. You'll find him in Ur. But here's information on him. He's two-thirds divine, like Gilgamesh. He's the elder brother to Gilgamesh. I have that wrong. Ur-Nammu's the oldest. Gilgamesh is second. Then Guda. I'm sorry, I stand corrected. Right there is the older brother to Gilgamesh. And there's the years he ruled. Ur-Nammu, many, many artifacts of him with his mother and king, as king and the god of Ur, Manor. Many texts on Ur-Nammu, again, must reads, pointed out. Even the death of Ur-Nammu. Next is Guda. He is the giant son made king of Lagash, which is the city of Ninurta, the father of Ninsun. So Guda's grandfather is from Lagash, Ninsun. I'm sorry, grandfather being Ninurta. Mother being Ninsun. Okay, Guda, the third one, and here's what I have on Guda. Again, the building of Ningirsu's temple, I tell you, it's a must read with a triple star. Then comes Ninsun's grandson, Shulgi. Shulgi is, I think, the son of Ur-Nammu. So here we go, another giant mixed breed, Nephilim. To interpret this, it's valiant one whom An made king among the gods, or made known among the gods, heroes of old, men of renown. And there's a couple things to read about Shulgi. Here's a double must read on the praise poems. And that's pretty much it on Ninsun. I'm telling you, you'll find her on the other pages as well because she keeps showing up in artifacts. Very important goddess, Ninsun, as I've pointed out. The artifacts with Ninsun are hundreds, if not thousands. Gotta mean something. And every one of these artifacts are historical scenes. Some have texts to go with them. Who's to say all of them didn't have texts? to go with them. It's been thousands of years, and they're in museums all over the world. Very difficult to put anything together. The Gilgamesh, I'll give you an example. The Epic of Gilgamesh text, I believe it's 12 tablets. Could be wrong. Go to Gilgamesh, you'll see it. It's a bunch of tablets. Okay? So if one tablet is in London and another tablet is in Babylon or Baghdad, if another tablet is in Chile or Brazil and another tablet in Canada, you see, how do you read the text of Gilgamesh? You see what they did? They split it up so you can't put it together. They hid it so you can't see it. They, on and on and on. It's so important to these people for 2,000 years that you don't know this. That sure preserves certain positions in government and religion, doesn't it? By omitting this, you empower what? Think about it. This is for your knowledge. It's a higher knowledge. It's a hidden knowledge. It's a secret that has been kept that way by the most powerful people on earth for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Same people, same clubs, hiding the same information, blackmailing people like the Pope, as the Knights Templar did when they discovered, my God, this is real. They didn't have these artifacts and they figured it out. Look at all these artifacts I'm giving you. What the Knights Templar found in Jerusalem under the Temple Mount was enough for them to know for a fact that this type of thing absolutely happened on earth, and Abraham was part of it, as was Solomon, Solomon's temple. They were all part of it. Very important to know. So if you are Hebrew and you're looking at Ur, look closely, the city below and the temple above. Can you imagine how poor Abraham is when his father runs that temple? Give me a break. Give me a break. You think Abraham isn't important just because he's the son of the high priest? In a major, well, Ur is the metropolis capital of Mesopotamia. It's the New York of Mesopotamia. It is where they raised most of their food. Nanner in Ur had 1 million cows there to feed the gods and the semi-divines and then the earthlings. You understand, when you read these things, you will have a better full understanding of your history. Full understandings never come because it's destroyed. I've preserved what most of this could be destroyed by now. It is preserved right here. It is exposed right here. You've never seen it before. I hope this helps you. Please, I'm nobody special. I'm just like you. I hope this helps you. Thank you very much for coming to my website. I hope you enjoyed it.